created by the bank owner himself, because he's quite a famous serial entrepreneur in Russia. And, you know, you never know what he could have come up with.
Business advisor Ignaty Diakov with that remarkable story. Always good to have your thoughts on anything in this programme. Pierre from Nairobi responded to our programme on insider trading. He said on our Facebook page, it's so blurred and easy that all that separates the two, the crooks and the legitimate traders, is the gusto and level of greed in a person. Don't forget to listen to our In the Balance programme this weekend. My colleague Jamie Robertson will be exploring energy dreams. He'll be looking at different scenarios for energy use in the future, and Colm O'Regan will be looking at how to make predictions. I predict, well, in fact, I can hear the onset of the closing music for this programme. There it is. Thanks for listening.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter wheat in Kansas City, the former Kansas City December, 6.99 1/4 down 7. Soft December wheat at 6.42 down 7.5. September corn, 4.73 3/4 down 7 3/4, now down 8. December, 4.65 1/4 down 7. September soybeans, 12.93 3/4. Now 94 up 5 3/4. November 12.66 1/2 up 1. September soybean meals 4.10 up 20 cents. September soybean oils 43.38 up 26 cents. August live cattle 123.55 down 15. August feeders 153.77 1/2 down 32 1/2. October lean hogs are 86.92 1/2 and they are down 37 1/2.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
You know, the Dome of Death has come over the eastern U.S. in terms of missed rains, and there's been missed rains elsewhere, too. Seems to me that maybe the next two weeks have become critical crunch time for weather forecasts.
I think that's a real fair assessment, and I think most of the private analysts out there that, you know, compile yield data for the corn and beans, a lot of them, and many, I think most even, have said in their estimates, even the ones that are in the higher yield camp, have said essentially that August is going to be an important month because of the crop slowness of growth, and that if we don't see good and a substantial amount of rainfall and the weather is cooperative, then they can continue to keep that higher yield. But if the weather's uncooperative, I think they are going to be in the mindset to go ahead and trim those yield numbers. And certainly if they're getting producer client updates, as I have been, you know, starting to hear of that in central Illinois, in northern Indiana, some of these more ideal areas from earlier in the year that were, you know, going to be substantially higher to help offset the western corn belt.
So the question that everybody's trying to mull is what is the yield? and there just seems to be a whole bunch of people not convinced that USDA's crop production report from earlier this week reflect something close to the reality that we were at that snapshot. Everybody seems to be all bared up into a bigger number.
That's right, and I think the FSA data as well, that's being walked back by the private analysts. And Dave, I think the best way to categorize it is, I think what I would call it is with the futures market, not the cash market. The futures market is in a 2009 tunnel vision. They have already decided, in my view, that the crop is as good as 2009, and I think that's where the numbers don't really jive for me. When I look at Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, and Indiana, and I compare the crop conditions for good to excellent, in all 3 years of this year, 11, and 2009 that I'm looking at, the denting percentages were between 5 and 7%. So we're at a crop nationally that's almost identical in those 3 years. And so I can understand where you're looking at 2009, but I would say when you look at those five states I mentioned, they're good to excellent conditions. The average of those excellent, good to excellent numbers are 64.5 for 13, the current crop year, 71 for 09, and 63.5 for 11. And it's a surprise from a standpoint of when you look at the state-by-state numbers. Yes, Indiana is up dramatically from 2009, up about 13%, but Iowa is down 29%. Minnesota offsets Indiana, and it's down 13%. And Illinois is only up 5 compared to what we saw in 2009. And so I think between that and the last 45 days of precipitation, where if you go and look at a ClimateGov or a NOAAGov precip map and try and just look at the actual analysis, I think you see that between 5 and 25% of normal precip is hit most of the central Corn Belt and the upper Midwest. So that's why I continue to track on the 2011 mindset versus the 09. But you look at the bean-corn ratio, and it's running at September of 09 levels right now. And at the peak, that ratio got up to almost 3.0 in August of 09. So that among some other things out there and anecdotal things would suggest to me, you're in the 2009 tunnel vision if you're in the analytical world right now because of the way the crop weather flipped about 2 months ago.
Well, then you have to make a case for ear weight up at that 0.345 level. I don't know you can make that case at this point.
Well, and this is where it's going to get really tough in September and October because you still have the acres on the table because of the FSA data. And that's this is what I would say to clients that say, well, some people are saying that that FSA data can't be looked at, that it's apples and oranges. I would say that is not likely because the USDA and the WAOB numbers increased their July planted corn acres by 100,000 acres. That's just last month. They increased the acres in corn. So it's hard for me to think that the FSA data has been included or looked at this point. So then you can argue around what number do you use, but it still leaves open the idea that we still have acres and yield to deal with. And to your point, I got a good email from one of your colleagues that we both know at the AgriGold area, then talking about ear tip back in central Illinois. And in this specific document, it had one picture of a corn ear that looked like it could have been pulled from Kansas, because this is what I've been seeing the past 3 weeks that I've been out here. Even with rains coming, the corn tip back is substantial. So it just goes back to maybe I'm wrong in my analysis, but then I go back to what's the trade trading? And I think it's simply put, I think the trade is still carrying or trying to carry an over 2 billion bushel U.S. corn carryover. So the premium and the risk premium has been pulled out in my view. So even if the analysis is wrong, the futures market has been buying beans and selling corn on the premise that it's going to be harder to make the bean crop.
And yet, if you look at the technicals on a weekly basis, we're looking in the December contract at a reversal higher, a key reversal higher, not a hook, but a key.
Yeah, and this is the key with the producers out there. As I said in the beginning of in the show, producers should stick to the medium term and the cash markets for their decision-making. Mm-hmm. But as we've seen this past nine-plus months, technicals really rule the futures market, rule the roost here. And that's what you have to be watching for is the weekly and monthly charts to flip, because we're so dramatically oversold. And in the case for corn, the funds are at or near record shorts at this point in futures. And so I think this is where the technicals really call the shots. And I think the technicals become even more important in September and October, because if we're like 2009, we made the major low in 09 in Dease corn at 305 and a quarter on the 8th of September. And so it was early September we made the low. And I think this is where, again, if you're going to use a 2009 model year, then we're getting closer and closer time-wise to a low, and that would mean the charts are even more important to me.
And in the soybeans, if you look at November, we have hit a key point. We're up over the 200-day moving average today. We're at a 61% Fibonacci retracement off of the June highs. I think if we clear this, we're $13 at 13.30 maybe.
Yeah, I think the 13, 13.45 is on the table because that would go back to a carryover that slips back below 200 million bushels.
Right.
And that's always been that line in the sand for me is what gets you back to the resistance and gets you back to what I would classify as the overvalue level for beans in the new crop, and that is a sub 200 million bushel carryover equates to about a 13.45. 1350 futures price.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Dave. Have a great day.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. Current tick in the marketplace, September corn, 472 and three quarters, and it's down 8 3/4. December, 464 and three quarters, down 7 1/2. September soybeans, 1294, up 5 3/4. November, 1267 and a half, up 2. September soybean meals, 410.40, up 60. September soybean oils is 43.38, up 26. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.
Moody's and